Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintech.net. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
Pizza time.
And of course, if you want to be a part of the show, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Text into the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. I don't know what's gotten into me lately, Sat. Last week I had the little gaffe on the show where like, let's get right into the open. And then it's like,
We have a guest. We have Yannick on.
Guys, Yannick is on right away. We're not going to the open here. Dan, we spoke about this. We discussed this before the show began.
I thought we talked about this.
Yeah. And then today, I'm like, I got in early to do a pre-taped interview that we'll hear later in the week.
Oh, I'm really excited about
with,
this one.
With Chelsea Green, who's WWE superstar, Victoria's very own. So we're excited about that. We're going to be at Survivor Series War Games on Saturday. That's going to be fun.
That's what I'm super excited about, because you did the interview. So you got up early. I did not need to worry about this. You did the interview with Chelsea Green. I chilled at home, but I get to enjoy going to Survivor Series on Saturday. So I'm really hyped to see War Games.
But my my whole concept of time just like went out the window because I got into work early today. Right. So I did the interview, and it's like I went into the space-time continuum, felt like I had a million hours before having to get back to work. I went home, had some lunch, did some different things, bought a lotto ticket because I feel like I'm going to win $80 million tonight.
It's tonight, right?
Yeah. And I felt like I had all the time in the world. And then I get to work and I'm like, oh, sad. I thought you were going to be here later today. And it's like, yeah, the show starts in 8 minutes, Dan.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to show up later, because usually we show up around, like, you get here about an hour before the show. Yes. I get here about like 50 minutes before the show, like 45 minutes before the show. And today I was like, I'm going to be here around 1:30. And Reach took that as like 2:30, I guess.
I don't know what got into me, but disaster avoided. Yeah. Well, I mean, Sack could have done the show on his own. It would have been fine.
I was like, don't worry. I'm not the type to message somebody and be like, hey, what time are you showing up? Because you know me, I'll show up like sometimes 10 minutes before the show and it's like, hey, I'm all good. But I was getting to a point, I'm like, it's 1:52. At what point do I actually text Reach?
He's never been late, but we're getting pretty close. All right. Well, disaster avoided. And if we're being truthful about it, people probably would just prefer to hear Sat.
No, I don't know about that.
It's the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the Open, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And this texter listening live, nice try, Dan. I'll be winning that money. You know what? If a listener to Canucks Central wins $80 million, I'll be very happy for that.
Yes. So, I mean, I'll be happy for anybody who wins it, but yeah.
Like, I just don't like hearing those stories where people have won the lottery multiple times. Like, how many millions are you, like, going to win? Stop.
The best was that the guy who won the lottery and then they did a newscast on it, so they recreated him buying the ticket, and the ticket he bought as they were filming it also won.
Of course it did, because that happens. People win the lottery multiple times.
That's
in
what
their
has
life.
Me feeling really nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it would make you feel nicey if you win. Like, why are you playing the lottery again after you've won the lottery? This is one thing I don't know. You've already won millions. You know, you've topped out. You've hit your ceiling in terms of in lottery wins.
It's like seeing if you have superpowers.
I think I'll win again. You know, this 1 in 7 billion chance that I'll win the lotto again. Anyways,
I have this text. Nothing better than Shorty winning the 50-50, him and Larside, when they were on radio. That was absolutely tremendous.
Legendary story of that one. I still haven't won the Canucks 50-50, by the way, but we'll keep trying. All right, so the latest on the Vancouver Canucks. There's a lot going on. Canucks and Boston Bruins today. Big revenge game narratives. We're going to get right into the pregame coming up after 3 o'clock. But we hear from Patrick Alvin today, and I know there's a lot of discussion around JT Miller right now. Paul Bissonnette brought him up on Spittin' Chiclets today. And first and foremost, we wish Paul a speedy recovery after the ordeal he went through in Arizona last night. But he's still well enough and able because he's a trooper and a hockey player. And those guys have pain tolerance like you wouldn't believe. He put through the shift and still got in a Spittin' Chiclets. And we wish Paul the best in his recovery. But as far as JT Miller goes, Patrick Alvin mentioned the Canucks superstar today. We know Brock Besser's coming back. We know Thatcher Demko is nearing a return. But as for JT, there's still a bit of an unknown there. And here's what Patrick mentioned about the number nine on the Vancouver Canucks. First and foremost, I'm very proud of JT seeking help. I don't know if he said it, but I believe that he's going to be a better person, better teammate, and better hockey player when he returns. And we sure miss him. He's such an impactful hockey player. I think we have, and the league has, all the right support to help him. That is from Patrick Alvin speaking to Ian McIntyre in a piece that's up right now at sportsnet.ca.
Yeah, and I know there's been discussion and people wondering, is it just an injury? Is that the why? And is that the reason? Obviously, we know there is an injury, but there's always another reason why. And it wasn't fair to really speculate when nobody really knew, but we knew it had to do with some level of mental health to some degree, right? And I know people have wondered about why not go into the players' assistance program. That's completely different too, because it's a different level and different degree of things as well. Like there has to be a certain threshold that it has to get to. And even though a player is going through mental health, let's say, and I'm not saying Miller, but just in general, that player, and this situation happened with Jonathan Drouin, can go on IR and they can also go on LTIR. It would kind of be designated the same as an injury, right? So I know people wonder, he's on IR or what, you know, what if he goes on LTIR? All of those things are allowed to happen when a player is going through, let's say, a mental health issue. And I think what Alvin said pretty much confirms that's kind of what's going on here with JT. And I think the thing that really stands out is he's certainly going through something that's deeper than just hockey.
Yeah,
because he says he wants to be a better person, and you know, not to say he's a bad person, but he wants to work on himself to improve himself to some degree, which tells you he's actually going through something here, right? We're not talking about a guy who's maybe just a little bit sour or a little bit banged up. Like there's something he's dealing with that he needs time away to deal with.
Yeah, and you can hear that when, I mean, from this quote with Alvin and when his teammates have talked about it. I know IMAC had a quote from Garland last week in the piece that he did after Garland and his wife gave birth to a baby boy. And, you know, Garland also just trying to support JT in any way that he can. And that's sort of, you know, I get there's almost like what else is going on here and kind of thing. And you just have to, it's tough, but you want to respect the player and where they're at and whatever it is that they are going through. You know, they clearly need this time to be able to go through that and come out on the other side a better person, you hope.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And you're talking about somebody who has a family, a young family as well. And you know, like we talked about yesterday about players that go through different struggles and confidence. And, you know, we talk about Pettersson, for instance, where his game was at and how he's a guy that, you know, sometimes needs a pat on the back because everybody, you know, responds differently emotionally. But just because you're the type of guy who's fiery and more emotional and somebody that, you know, is more of the tough leader like JT, it shows you can still go through things on a personal level, right? And there are certain things that we all deal with at times, and sometimes you need to take a step back, especially when there's a lot on your shoulders. And if you take care of yourself, you come back, well, a good teammate is a good team. Like, if you can't help your team if you can't help yourself first.
Yeah.
So I think if JT's helping himself, he's going to help the team when he comes back.
Rick Tocchet, his quote from the Ian McIntyre piece, "Listen, I miss the guy, but obviously there are things that are more important than hockey. He's a huge part of our team. When a guy like that is not there, you notice." That's what Rick Tocchet said about JT Miller. So it is a difficult situation. And so when it came up on Spittin' Chiclets today, the reference to the not always rosy relationship Miller and Elias Pettersson have had through their Vancouver Canucks careers, and with the Boston Bruins, sort of in passing, Bissonnette mentioned, would the Boston Bruins look to try and acquire JT Miller as somebody who could help out their center position? As a lot of things do, took a different a life of its own on Canucks Twitter.
Of course it would, right? Because anytime somebody brings something like that up, especially somebody prominent, like Bissonnette, and like you mentioned, it's good to see him doing well after, you know, dusting, what is it, 6 guys?
Oh, man, the mugshots are unbelievable.
Pretty fantastic.
Exactly what you would expect.
It was great.
Exactly what you would expect.
It was fantastic.
And good for Biz for being a good citizen, honestly.
100%. And we know he can take care of himself, and he certainly took care of those 6 dudes, too. Anytime somebody of that stature mentions anything about a Canuck in trade.
Well connected with Rick Tocchet, right? Worked closely with him on TNT.
You can forgive fans for raising an eyebrow and wondering what that means, right? Like, it's a fair question to kind of ask. I don't see that being anything imminent, you know what I mean? Or even when JT comes back that we're sitting here talking about trade. The other part on Pettersson and JT Miller, I don't think that's anything that's a surprise to anybody who's a fan of this team. Like, we talked about this very often. Even JT's spoken about it. Pettersson has spoken about it. JT has admitted that their relationship hasn't always been the best, but they're working at it.
Mm-hmm.
And like we talked about before, you don't have to like somebody to coexist with them. Both players signed long-term extensions here. Now, does it ever get to a point where these players can't coexist? I guess that's possible when you have players of that stature that, you know, don't mix. But I don't see that necessarily being an issue as we sit here today. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, we know these guys aren't best friends.
Mm-hmm. It's been pretty public that they haven't been the best of friends, right? You don't have to be the best of friends to be able to coexist in a workplace. Can it cause issues? I mean, this team is coming off its best season in pretty much over a decade, right? Where both coexisted. Now, it didn't last through the whole year because Pettersson's game fell off a little bit come playoff time. But Pettersson's game, even this year, I know people have referenced that Pettersson's game, look how Pettersson's game has really started to come together now that JT is out of the lineup. Like, Pettersson's game was coming around when JT was still in the lineup, right? Like, he started to streak some games together. He had the Edmonton and the Calgary game where he had 1-1 both nights, and you could really start to feel like Pettersson was coming out of it even while JT was still in the lineup. So I think, to me, that's a little bit overblown as well. And ultimately, you know, it's always going to be a bit of a storyline because we know, and because it has been at times public.
Yeah.
But they're adults and they're professional athletes. They're able to coexist. We saw it last year. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, you would hope.
That's my sense of it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, like I said, currently, especially with JT's situation, we're not getting a lot of info, as you would imagine. There's a lot of privacy around this situation. And we haven't really heard any formal statements from his agents or his side. They decided to be quiet, you know? And my understanding is the reason the Canucks had the statement the way they did wasn't because they decided to portray it as such themselves. This is something that JT and or his camp also wanted. They wanted it to be presented as a certain leave of a personal leave, like they put it out. Like, I know that JT was a part, at least I've heard that at least JT and his camp were part of it. So it's not like it's like the team has one story, JT doesn't have one story. I think there is unification on that. As far as when he comes back, I think that's a big question.
Yeah.
Is it going to be right away when the Canucks return? It may not.
December 6th against Columbus is their first game back at home.
My sense is, don't put a timeline on the situation.
Mm.
And especially when we're talking about somebody dealing with the issues he's dealing with, it's not like you have a broken, you know, bone and you can be back 2 to 4 weeks. Like, you can't really put a timeline on it. And it shouldn't be something he should miss the season for, you hope. But I think you got to be careful putting any firm return date on JT Miller.
So that is the latest on JT. And if you want to read Ian McIntyre's full piece on it and full conversation with Patrick Alvin, you can. Alvin also mentions Demko and his status as he prepares to return and what he said about Demko, who we think will be able to play at some point during this road trip. Alvin mentioned this. Things have actually gone better than I anticipated. He was working so hard and was so determined to get better. You guys see him out there on the ice, but the amount of time that he spent with our strength and medical staff, I'm very happy and pleased where we are that he's probably getting into game time decisions here. So another sign that Thatcher Demko is very close to getting back onto the ice for an NHL game.
Yeah, I mean, we know that he's been ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he looks a lot better, according to Rick Tocchet, and he seems genuine when he talks about Thatcher. So we know that it's positive. As far as him being surprised or even above expected, it all comes down to what you expected a timeline to be. The Canucks were never firm on any sort of timeline that he would return. And whether it's genuine or not, I think it's a big positive that we are likely to see Demko here, and we're seeing him, you know, by early December. I think it would have been really concerning if we didn't see Thatcher Demko come back until the new year. So I think anything before 2025 would be positive, considering how he got hurt when he came back and you having to take your time with a situation like this.
It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. We are Canucks Central. And you know, in the background of all this is the season. It's currently ongoing. Canucks off to, I mean, they were off to a great start by their records. They've come back down to earth a little bit, corrected now a little bit. Really good performance against the Ottawa Senators to kick off this road trip. But the feeling of they need to add a defenseman is still very much there with this team. And today, I raised a Spockian eyebrow when I saw this one, Sat. Kevin Weeks reporting that Keandre Miller is a name that's getting a lot of traction on the trade market. I mean, you know, we've talked about guys that are very obviously on the trade market, the Marcus Pettersons, the Provorovs, those types. But in the idea that the Canucks want to aim higher and maybe try to find another legit top four defenseman similar to what they acquired when they got Philip Hronek, that's what Keandre Miller would be, to me at least, a guy that could legitimately be a part of this group for a few years to come. He is an RFA at the end of this year.
Yeah, the number for his contract is likely to be pretty big, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a guy who's playing 22 minutes a game. The production isn't eye-popping this year, 4 points in 20 games, but he has had a 40-point season, had over 30 points last year, and he's young. So it's not going to be that $8, $9 million contract, I don't think.
Yep.
But if he sees himself as an $8, $9 million defenseman, it could be a pretty tough negotiation, right? So I don't think a contract is necessarily straightforward. So that's number one when you're thinking about acquiring a guy like Keandre Miller, and I'm a Keandre Miller fan. So if you're looking at it from the Canucks perspective, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you make it work.
Well, it's going to be a big package, right? And when you talk about a big package, what did the Canucks give up for Philip Hronek? It was draft picks, right? They didn't have to give up a prospect. They didn't have to give up a roster player. Detroit still very much in a building type of mindset. The Rangers are in win now. Like they expect to be a Stanley Cup contender. If you're trading Keandre Miller, I can't imagine it's just for futures, or if it is, like they're just going to use those futures to go out and get something else. Maybe that might be the mindset of Chris Drury. That's hard to do in season, though.
Well, the Canucks did it with Philip Hronek.
Yeah, that's
right?
Fair.
Now,
many other examples of that, though.
No, you're right. I think the first thing to always start with is, what does the team that's trading the player or putting him on the market want?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest, and we don't know what they want, right?
Well, the thing is, like, just go through the Canucks' biggest trade assets, and what are they?
Well, I mean, it's Willander, Lekkomäki.
And their first round pick this year.
Yeah. Those are 1, 2, 3.
And, you know, so, like, the new Raymond Ballard in a third isn't going to get you Keandre Miller, the Hoglander a first and something else, right?
Well, and as much as Hoglander is a good young player, scored 24 goals, he does now have a 3-year contract attached to him.
Yes. $3 million.
It's still $9 million. Not to say that. So I don't think that Hoglander isn't necessarily a big trade chip. he could be a trade chip. I think he's a guy that teams are intrigued by, and the contract could look could be looked upon positively. But I think it changes his value from being a player who's just on simply a one-year deal, right?
Yeah.
And the team being able to make their own decision on them, which would be maybe a slightly more favorable, especially when he hasn't produced to a huge number yet, where he's in a strong bargaining position anyways for an acquiring team. So if you're talking about Hoglander, I'm not even sure how good he is, how strong he is as a main trade chip. So when you bring him up, it would have to be him plus, plus, plus. It wouldn't be him as the big, big main piece.
He wouldn't be the centerpiece of a deal.
No.
Not for K'Andre Miller, at least.
No.
So, again, you go back to what are the Canucks' biggest trade pieces. It's Lekkerimäki, it's Vilander, it is a first-round draft choice. What are some roster pieces that you could potentially even think about if you were the New York Rangers? Like, okay, you're sending out a guy who's playing more than 20 minutes a night for you on the left side of defense. Is Carson Soucy going back in the... I have a hard time seeing how the Canucks... Imagining there would be multiple teams in a sweepstakes for K'Andre Miller, I have a hard time seeing how the Canucks would be able to offer the best package in that kind of a scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think there are other teams that can offer more compelling packages. And as much as, you know, the Canucks right now, as we speak, if we're looking to make that, would be looking to make that deal, would have to include someone like Soucy just to make the numbers work.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it has to be money in, money out right now anyways.
You'd have to include some salary.
It would have to change. It can change at the deadline. So this comes back to when is this also going to happen anyways? Right? So that's something to kind of keep an eye on. Like, can a team like the Canucks make this move now, or can you make this move later on? And ultimately, the longer you wait, the more flexibility you have to not include bigger players or at least bigger salaries that you may want to keep on the roster. Right? So, I mean, and I don't think a guy like Desharnais would move the needle either, right? If you're looking to kind of throw anybody in. So I think it's a complicated deal to make for Vancouver. I think the Canucks are in a bit of a tough situation, because as much as they want to make these big trades, they essentially have Lekkerimäki, Willander, and that's it.
Mm.
They have other guys coming that could be promising, right? Prospects wise, but they don't have the value right now to be big pieces in a trade, right? So they have to be very careful with any move that they make, because if you make the wrong move with one of your two best prospects, well, you're going to squander a big chance, especially when those two players are hoped to be coming into your lineup on cheap entry-level contracts for them to be able to supplement a roster that's going to have, you know, higher paid players on it, right? So that's something that they're banking on. And for them to lose that, I think it would have to be something really that would have to work out really in their favor, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a harder deal to pull off. And I just wonder with what a team like the Rangers can get for a K'Andre Miller, that the Canucks ultimately get priced out in any sort of discussion.
Yeah, and I would imagine if the Rangers had their way with whatever it is they're trying to figure out right now, given Kreider and Trouba were on the market yesterday, today K'Andre Miller's name comes up in the rumor mill, it almost feels like they'd love to move Jacob Trouba, and teams are calling being like, I know you want to move Jacob Trouba, but what about K'Andre Miller?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's kind of where because I would imagine most teams would prefer, especially contending teams, would prefer to look at K'Andre Miller more than they would prefer to go after Jacob Trouba right now at his stage of his career.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, we would be surprised. But I like what Frank said yesterday, though, that if the Rangers are considering making bigger moves, what are other teams looking to do potentially?
Yeah.
And can this spur on some bigger action, especially with the cap going up next year?
Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. All right, the Canucks Central Roundup tonight against the Boston Bruins. Couple of lineup notes. Brock Besser is in the lineup for the Vancouver Canucks. Max Sasson, after getting a debut point, is coming out of the lineup against the Boston Bruins. Canucks now with 13 healthy forwards. And Kevin Lankinen is getting the start in goal. Coming up next, Colby Armstrong. He'll join us, Sportsnet hockey analyst, and of course, Pittsburgh Penguins color man. That's next on Canucks Central.